Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we are going to get to the Patriots schedule as in, and how it relates to the Patriots quarterback. I want to get to all of that. There's some leaks about who the Patriots are playing and when and where. So we'll get to that here coming up, but I do just want to grab these calls. And we'll rifle through them, so do please try and be brief. Let's lead it off with Ed in Plymouth. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, I just wanted to give you guys a quick clarification on the putting there. There's a lot of these courses are using this new device that kind of almost looks like a little mini cane towards the bottom of the pin, and you actually use your putter and it pops the ball up. Like it's like this little thing, like a little thing that pulls the ball out of the cup. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Okay.
I'm
like,
with you that.
Feels like a simple fix.
Look,
you should be able to, and I don't know if you know what he's talking about, Maz. It sounds like a golf gadget, which you must have seen or ordered or something. Like it feels so right up your alley. But there's got to be a way. For you to put a ball into the hole and get it out of the hole without contracting COVID-19. I think there has to be.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I did see earlier in the year. Okay, and I hope that this is true. That what they did was inside the cylinder that is the cup, they put a smaller cylinder that went, you know, call it halfway down so that when the ball went in the cup, it stayed elevated. In other words, it wasn't all the way down that you had to reach, and then you could, you know, stick the blade of your putter in and pop the ball out like that, and then you're all set. So I have seen that. I hope that that's what most places will do. But again, I had heard that they were elevating the cup out of the hole and really eliminating a good chunk of the putting.
I hope
I'm wrong.
Back when I played, if that were the case, I wouldn't do it. Like, if I got to a course and they had temporary greens, you know, because they were whatever.
I hate those.
You know, aerating the real green or sanding the real greens, or they were flooded or whatever, and there's a little temporary green even on one hole. I said, forget it. I'm not playing. I was that way, which is why I quit. Because as you can tell, I'm a little bit of a mental case.
No.
Robin Foxborough. Go ahead, Rob. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm a member of Blue Hills, and Maz, you're absolutely right. Golfers are a-holes. And the guys and I are already talking about it. Can you imagine? We already fight with each other over ball marks and short putts. Can you imagine the fights that are going to happen? Like, that hit. No, the video replay showed I didn't hit the thing that popped out of the ground. It's going to be ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So, I mean, the three-footer for the Nassau on the ninth hole or the 18th hole, that's a handshaker, right? Like that. But now the cylinder is outside the hole. You just hammer the thing at it. You just crank it. I mean, that changes the whole game.
Oh, think about it. So you missed that three-footer, and yeah, but dude, you were standing closer than 6 feet, so that's good. You were in my space.
Joe in Pennsylvania, go.
Hey, guys, first time, long time. Yeah, at our club, they have a cylinder kind of similar to what Maz just described. We opened up last week, and I played this past weekend. So the ball, you do put it into the cup, and it just kind of halfway rests in, although you do get a few guys who are like, okay, I'm inside of 4 feet. I can now just kind of pound it. So, it hits the stick and kind of pops out. But typically, it halfway rests into the hole. So it's like regular putting in that regard. And I would say that you know, one person per golf cart actually works pretty well because it kind of speeds up the game a bit.
Well, so to tie it into something else we've been talking about, I was at a course in Florida once where Jordan was playing, and he and Ahmad Rashad were playing in a twosome, and they each had their own cart, which they both basically drove up onto the green. Or, you know, drove up right onto the frog hair there, the short hair, onto the green. And I don't know why I just thought of that. But
because they're a-holes.
Yeah, because they're a-holes.
Yeah, because, again, golfers are a-holes. And I can already see how this particular segment on Felger and Maz is going to go, yeah, guys, I use my 3-iron to rake the bunker anyway.
But really, is anything else on that list a deal breaker? It shouldn't
no.
be.
No.
No, it's not. You know, and again, even the bunker thing, and I say because, you know, obviously you play it as it lies in the bunker. But under the circumstances, you play like fall rules and say, okay, fine. If it lands in some, you know, absolute enormous ditch in there because someone was in there, then just kick it over to a flat part of the bunker and hit from there. Well, like, what's the big deal?
And if a cup's going to be elevated on putts, then all things, you know, to me, anything goes. It's a whole different sport. Patrick and Stoughton. Go ahead, Patrick. The return of sports.
Hey, man, Fred. I just wanted to say that guy Harry. He said that you said it doesn't matter. COVID doesn't matter just to do the sports. I've been listening to you every day, and you've never said that.
I know.
Like, it does matter. That's not what you're saying. But what's the difference between them going to the gym and four of them shooting around, or I live near Quincy? There's 1,000 people at Walmart every time I go there.
Yeah, I mean, COVID. Of course, COVID matters. We're trying to be safe, but you're also trying to live. So it's the balance of the two. And I'm sorry, sports is industry. It's economy. And even if fans aren't in the stands, it's going to affect fewer people, but it's still going to affect people. It's still going to provide jobs. It's going to provide economy. It's going to provide money moving through the system. And that's what everyone should be trying to be doing. If it's safe, if you can figure it out. And again, I'm not saying put fans in the stands. I don't think we're close to that. But can you put a few guys in the gym to shoot baskets? I just want to start with that. A few guys in the gym to shoot some baskets, then we'll go to the next thing. 12 guys in the gym to have a practice. And then a camp, you know. That's just one step at a time on that. Jason in Phoenix on the return of golf. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi. I live in Phoenix, and I play 7 Saturdays in a row. One thing they do, the courses out here are spread out. So we use carts. You just wipe them down. So that part is good. And then also, too, what they do is they take a styrofoam pool noodle and they cut about 2 inches off the end and then they raise it, so really you're putting it to half hole, so you're really putting. I've had balls 360 lip around, so
wait a minute, the pool noodle, the styrofoam,
yeah, the noodle,
the styrofoam pool noodle, what do we call it? I call it something else. What do we call that? What does my kid call that? Anyway, I don't understand. It still go. Is that thing raised above the hole, or what is he saying? Do you understand what he's saying?
No. Use it as a filling. You put the styrofoam in the cup, so basically the cup is half as deep as it normally is, and then the ball when it goes in rests closer to pick up, so you're not reaching all the way into the cup. He wants to use the pool noodle, and Felger, he probably plays a noodle too, the noodle ball, so he's putting the noodle into the noodle.
Maybe we just call it the noodle. But so I mean, I get what he's saying. So it's just you don't want the hole to be so deep. Is really all that you're saying.
I guess, you know, so to me, I don't get that part of it, though. Like,
you're still reaching your hand in there.
Right. So if the back of your, if you have to reach further into the hole, the back of your hand hits the flag stick and then the next person goes in. And is that the logic?
I mean, again, I think the raised golf hole would not, I wouldn't play. But we're all going to have to get used to just the first couple days are going to be awkward as all get out, and it's going to loosen. And if you're old enough to remember flying in the first days after 9/11, man, it was sort of freaky. You were looking around at, you know, you were checking everyone out who got on that plane. I remember, like, pilots would make announcements if you see anything suspicious, you know, like, everyone was all freaked out. And you got on the plane, and everyone's looking everywhere, and everyone's all paranoid. And eventually, after a couple days and a couple flights, it got back to normal. And I guess this is the way this is all going to be. But to start, you're going to be putting at freaking pool noodles.
So just quickly, since you brought this up, because we had this discussion in the house last night. Once 9/11 happened, prior to that, was there any security at all? Like, I don't even remember.
No. Of course there was. But you could, if you didn't, like, there was all sorts of different things. If you didn't have... what do you mean? Was there security? You don't remember going through airport security before 9/11?
I don't remember.
Like
my wife was saying you could just, if you had a ticket, you'd walk to the gate and give them your ticket at the gate.
Sometimes, man, for such a smart guy, sometimes you say things that I wonder if you are like sucking glue or something. Like, what do you mean?
I don't remember.
No. So
did you find your own stash of sweet tooth, man?
Seriously, what are you? Jesus. What is going on there? There was no. Of course, it was security. It was much more lax. And if you didn't have a ticket, you could walk to the gate. I mean, you remember those days? If your cousin was flying in from Seattle, you could walk.
Well, you
to the
meet
gate,
him at the gate.
Yeah. Meet him at the gate. You could do that, but you still had to go through the screeners. Your dad probably remembers a day before the 70s where there was no airport security, and then they had all these hijackings in the late. Remember all the late 60s and early 70s? All planes were always getting hijacked and going to Cuba and crap like this.
Sure.
And so that's how the individual airlines then instituted the screeners and everything. But that was in like the early 70s, dude. No. Prior to 9/11, you were going through security. What? Seriously, what's the matter with
you? Yeah, September 10th, 2001, Maz. You could just walk right up, rip butts
right
on
in.
The yeah, smoke cigarettes.
Dude, I told you I've been eating more. I think all the fat is accumulating in my brain.
My God. Bill in Michigan, go.
Hey, this is Bill in Michigan. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good, Bill in Michigan.
Hey, I just want to call and thank you guys for being on the air. And I've been dying to call because I just recently got this on my cable packet, so I get to hear this. But what I want to tell you is, like in Michigan, you have like elevation changes up north. You could not ride in a cart before this virus hit. So, you know, I know parts of Massachusetts, because I've been a fan of Boston sports my whole life, and I know there's parts out in the west part that are mountainous. So, you know, golf courses are having a hard enough time. Why can't we just put a person in each cart, you know, one per cart, you know, tell them you got to, you know, make a few rules. But let him play, because these golf courses in Michigan are having a hard time making it.
I'm mountainous. Sure. Hold on, Bill. I just have to cut you off. What, Maz? Go.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing in Vermont because I have sickle cell. Like, is this where we're going now? Yeah, there's elevation changes in Michigan. That's what I think of when I think of Michigan. I think of mountains. I don't know about you.
Well, so, but you know what I said before, there's no deal breaker on that list. If you are someone who needs a cart, I guess that's a deal breaker. I mean, you need a cart, right?
Yeah, for older folks, I mean, I think you could make a case it's a bit discriminatory. Like, if you always rely on a cart, or you've had a hip replacement and you're 75, but you want to get out on the course, well, you're kind of screwed still.
No, it's
well, so I've been told, though, it's some of the like I've been told we can take carts, but individual. And again, now those maybe it's different private versus public because of the turnover of carts. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I'm going to plan to walk. I'm going to use it as an opportunity to burn some of that brain fat.
I mean, does it make me an elitist or, you know, unconstitutional if I say that there should be different rules for the privates? The privates should be a little more, I mean, up to their own membership. Is that wrong? Is that?
No, I mean, if you're paying all that money, you should probably have a little bit more access. That's understandable.
I mean, my thing is, it's a tight control group. You can control who's on there, and then you can have, I don't know. I just think it's different.
Well, again, if it's a public course, then you are literally introducing, you know, hundreds or thousands of people into the same environment. Whereas the private courses are the same people over and over again. Control is the right word. You're almost in your own little quarantine bubble in some ways.
All right. If you want to weigh in on this all day, you can. We can talk about putting at the pool noodle as much as you want. I do want to get to the NFL schedule. It's starting to trickle out. And the more I think of it, the more I really think it does impact who your quarterback is to start next year, what your schedule looks like to start the season. So we'll get to that right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How does the league intend to lay out its schedule given the uncertainty of a timeline?
Well, everybody's waiting to see right now, right? There's been talk of interconference games to start the season. I don't think that's going to be the plan tonight. I don't think that will be the case. But there have to be folding intricacies into the schedule. I don't know whether you pack the back half of the schedule with more important divisional games, whether you do a schedule that resembles the one that the league put together in 2011, where there was the lockout, where they were able to fold up certain weeks of the season. I think that, to me, is the most interesting part of the schedule release tonight. It's not that Joe Burrow is playing Tua whenever it is. It's not that Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson will square up in Baltimore. To me, the most interesting part of this is the flexibility that the NFL builds in for itself tonight when it does release the schedule. Everybody's waiting to see how they go about approaching this period of uncertainty.
All right, let's get to the schedule. And as it relates to the Patriots quarterback, because I wonder if it's related. Now, we were going off the premise yesterday, which Adam Schefter referred to there, that everyone's going to start with their four non-conference games, because if the season has to be reduced and games canceled, that's an easy place to start. Maybe they're not ready to roll by September, so they cut out the four non-conference games, and then you keep your conference games, and then you peel back, if you have to go further, you peel back your non-division games and so on and so forth, and that makes it a collapsible schedule, as Burt Breer said. Adam Schefter this morning, as you just heard, said he doesn't think it's going to go that way. And leaks are now coming out about what the schedule is going to look like, and apparently it has been leaked that it's Patriots-Dolphins Sunday, 1 p.m. here in Foxborough. So what's your thought on that, Maz?
So, opening with the division, and do we have anything beyond week one?
No.
Okay, so I wonder if opening with the division is an interesting option, if only for the fact that you're playing everybody twice. So, in other words, on the chance that they did have to chop out games, and I recognize that the entire playoff structure is built on those division games, but if they had to chop out games, you still play everybody one time, right? You know, I don't know if they maybe deem those to be games they could sacrifice more readily or what, but I don't mind opening the division. To me, I kind of have always liked the idea of opening in the division and ending in the division and playing everybody in between.
Yeah, the other leaks, actually, there's a Jets Monday Nighter in New York on week 9, and apparently the Bills hosting the Patriots week 11.
Okay, so there's some there. Two things. One is a general rule. I'm glad, because it looks this way, that they're not going to make those non-conference games so expendable. In other words, why would the league give up those games so easily and so readily and make those the first things to go when those are some of their best games? I'm sorry. For example, this year, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. If you canceled non-conference games, that might be the biggest game of the year. I mean, it could be. Who knows? I mean, we'll see when we get there, right? It always changes. But it's possible that Buccaneers-Chiefs will be one of the biggest games of the year, if not the biggest game of the year. Why would you make that the first to go, right? And on the Patriots schedule, Garoppolo in Foxborough. Why would you make that expendable? Or Patriots at Seattle, Belichick and Carroll, and the history between those two teams. Those are big, big games. They're much bigger than Patriots, Jets, Carolina, Atlanta, whatever, all the swaggy interdivision games that you get in every division, never mind this one. So if anything, as you just sort of alluded to, Maz, I would make the second round of division games more expendable than those interconference games or non-conference. The non-conference games, I think you need, frankly.
I mean, it's really just about supply and demand when you think about it. So we always talked about this with Green Bay, that Aaron Rodgers, during the whole time Tom Brady was quarterback, I think came to Foxborough once.
Once.
Because he was hurt one time, and Matt Flynn ended up starting that game.
Once.
And then they didn't come again until 8 years later.
Once.
So, right, just by definition then, think about that. That, you know, teams in the NFC North or whatever division.
I think Russell Wilson's been here only once.
Yeah, you're just not going to see those matchups all that frequently. So, again, it's a supply and demand issue. Those games are rarer or more rare. I don't know which is correct, but whatever. Those games are less common. So, you got to protect those because there is a uniqueness to them.
So, I hope that's what the league is thinking, because those are some of their marquee games every single year, Murray. Did you have a thought?
Yeah, and the same thing. I hated the thought of those games being treated as like the throwaway, because you get so many great matchups that are potential Super Bowl matchups, like you say, or even, you know, Bucks Kansas City. On paper right now, that's an absolute must-see game if you're a fan of the NFL. And for that to be like, oh, well, we couldn't do it because we had to play the divisional games and you had to squeeze in another Panthers-Bucks game, stop it.
Okay, here's how it relates to the Patriots quarterback. And, again, I wonder if it doesn't, if this is how Bill thinks. We discussed this yesterday. If the Pats were going to open with the NFC West, if that's the way it was going to go, and that, you know, the NFC West might be the best division in football, and it's two big West Coast trips, and you, if you were starting with that division, and they were going to front load it there in the first month of the season, your schedule would have been at Seattle, at Rams, home Arizona, home Niners. And, you know, maybe that would have been not 2-2, but, you know, whatever. Those would have been the four games. That, you know, the at Seattle game right out of the chute in the first couple of weeks of the year, ooh, that's a tough pull. And even at the Rams, who I know aren't quite what they were a couple of years ago, but cross-country trip, good team. You know, who knows what's, would that be in the new stadium or what? I don't know. Tough game given the travel. The Niners, one of the best teams in football, just coming off the Super Bowl. So there's a chance there. If you were starting NFC West, you're looking at 1-3. You know, realistically, sort of a 1-3 start. And I said to myself at that point, does Belichick want to, you know, subject Jared Stidham to that? And would you give Jared Stidham a little bit of a buffer? You know, throw Brian Hoyer to the Wolves. Let him be the quarterback that plays those games. And if you go 1-3, well, then Jared Stidham is replacing Brian Hoyer. He's not replacing Tom Brady, and that gives Jared Stidham a much better chance for long-term success, or at least you get to avoid that thing about, you know, here's the next guy succeeding Tom Brady. And I wonder if that's part of Bill Belichick's calculus. And I'll tell you this, Maz. If their opening game was home Niners, I almost want to guarantee that Brian Hoyer plays that game. You know, and I think he almost should play that game because you want to protect Stidham. Here comes Stidham against the guy Bill really wanted. And if Garoppolo comes in here and wins, like, and now Stidham's got to listen to that crap all week and all year and his whole career. Or, you know, it's like, I wonder if Bill wants to protect him to a degree. And so if you were opening up Niners, I'd say Hoyer. And if you were opening up NFC West and you're staring at 1-3, I'm saying, you know what? Let that be on Hoyer, not on Stidham. But now that it's home Dolphins Sunday, 1 o'clock, I don't know. I don't know about that anymore.
Well, so the question to me is, look, Bill's smart. He's going to protect Stidham in one way, shape, or form. He's not stupid. And when I say that, I mean, it could be the play calling, could be the, you know, the kind of offense they run, what sort of demands they put on Stidham, all that sort of stuff. Or it could be, if it is an unfavorable schedule in the early part of the year, you wait it out. I mean, it, you know, in some ways, look, the Niners did this with Garoppolo, if you remember, when he went out there, that they delayed playing him until they got to a soft spot in the schedule, and then all of a sudden he ripped off 5 in a row. They, you know, they finished the season 5-0, and the next thing you knew, they were going into the next year with this momentum, and everybody liked Jimmy G. And so I could totally see Bill doing something like that.
How do you feel about them managing Jared Stidham like that, Murray?
It's ridiculous. It's almost like, are you rooting for the Hoyer take? It makes no sense. If Hoyer sees the field to start the season, whether it's Miami or the Niners or Seattle, whoever it is, you have no plan. You should have drafted a quarterback or did something else in free agency or bring in Cam Newton. Because transitioning slowly to Stidham just tells him, nah, we don't really believe in you anyway. You either trust him to manage these games. So I agree with Maz in that, all right, you can manage it in that you have him be a game manager and it's dink and dunk and you try to win on defense. And that's what I think that the plan is. But if you put Hoyer out there to start so you can ease in Stidham, you've already ruined his confidence. You don't believe in him at all.
Mike, I'll tell you the other thing, too, with that you know, that scenario, and you raised this the other day, the idea that Garoppolo could come in here, you know, early, and then there you go, the guy you could have had versus the guy you ended up with. What about the opposite scenario? What if Bill looks at it and says, ooh, what a golden opportunity. We shut down Jimmy G and Stidham, if we can get Stidham to play well and win the game, then we make a different kind of statement. You know, our guy, we beat him after we trade Garoppolo. We beat him nonetheless, and we do it with Stidham, and here you go. And now, I don't know, maybe the fan base feels some level of, you know, trust or confidence as a result of that.
So we started this conversation yesterday. Let's pick it up now and again. Ask the question, if Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback early next year, is that a fail? Is that a failure on the part of Bill Belichick in his quarterback transition? Let's pick that up after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, we've been talking up this kid, and now it's time for him to prove it. And Giles, I understand what you're saying. Yes, Brian Hoyer, he's a safe guy. He's a knowledgeable guy. But if there's any Brian Hoyer involved on the field that doesn't come if he's playing and there's no injury involved, you failed. Simple as that.
Or Stidham's so good that you've run up the score and you're letting the backup play for the fourth quarter.
I was gonna say, other than, if he starts a game and nobody's hurt, you have failed.
Shut up, DJ. He's in the middle of a take. It was a good one. Michael Holly last night on Boston Sports Tonight. I thought he put it succinctly. Made it a nice black and white argument, which, we were discussing yesterday, but I think Holly really crystallized it. If Brian Hoyer is starting any games early next year for any reason other than injury or blowout, right? If he's starting games early next year, is that a fail on the part of Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
Go ahead, Murray.
Yes, of course it is. Yeah. You're waving the white flag in the season. And people will not accept that. I mean, you guys will because you think they can win 9-10 games with Hoyer. But Hoyer means you have failed in terms of trying to replace Tom Brady and having a plan going forward. That's one. And two, you're waving the white flag in the season, and it's full-on tank because Hoyer sucks.
Yeah, it's a fail in my mind, too. And again, look, I suppose you could argue it's part of some bigger plan that Belichick has to ease Stidham into it. But the fact is they could have done that with someone better. And so to me, when the entire Brady story unfolded the way it did and when Brady left, you had to have someone better than Brian Hoyer lined up as the starter of the Patriots in 2020.
So, great take by Holly. I'm not ripping him, but I just disagree with him strongly. I disagree with you two strongly. No, no, 1,000 times no.
Hoyer blows, Mike.
Look, next year is a failure if either of these two things happen, okay? If either of these two things happen, next season's a failure. One, the Patriots have to go get their quarterback of the future next offseason. All right? I will consider this year a failure if they have to draft Trevor Lawrence or spend free agency money or make a big trade. If Stidham's not the guy, then I would consider this season a failure. Or they have a lousy season, then I would consider this season a failure. The first thing's really more important than the second because I don't think this is a championship team. But I don't want to just give away a season, okay? So that's it to me. This season's a failure if they have to go get their quarterback next year or they have a lousy season. Stidham doesn't have to play a snap for those two things. They don't have to play a snap. If Brian Hoyer wins the division and they go into the playoffs, win a home playoff game, that's my expectation for the team anyway. That's not a failure. And you're just just because Stidham isn't ready doesn't mean he's not the guy. Or just because he might need to be managed doesn't mean he's not the guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but to me, it's not about Stidham. It's about, let's say that everything you just said is true, that Stidham is not ready and Stidham needs another year to develop. Then the best you could do is Brian Hoyer?
So I agree. So in that case, I'd rather have Andy Dalton or Cam Newton or someone like that if there's just a one-year keep-the-seat-warm kind of guy. But you know what? This is where Bill's going to be judged. Can he win with Brian Hoyer, or should he have gone for more talent with Cam Newton, who, you know, plays totally outside his system and would have to totally learn everything new, and maybe Bill's making the right call that even though Cam Newton is twice the talent, it's not going to net out to be any better than someone who knows the system, knows the playbook, and he's comfortable with and knows exactly what he can do. So maybe,
okay, but
so to me, we'll find that out. But just because Stidham can be the guy, but what if he has to be managed early on in his career? What's wrong with that? That doesn't mean he's not the guy because you need to manage the kid.
There's nothing wrong with that on May 7th of 2021, let alone 2020. But I'm telling you here today, if you're telling me that Brian Hoyer was the plan to fill the gap, fail. And honestly, at the risk of riling up Jimmy Stewart, you're kind of straddling the fence on that one. Like, you know, if Hoyer gets him into the playoffs, but it's May 7th. I'm telling you today, if Brian Hoyer was the plan, fail.
I don't agree with that. So look, I like Andy Dalton more than him, and I know Cam Newton's way more talented than him. But to me, there's a big deal where, you know, Cam Newton, does he fit here? Does he fit here culture-wise, and will he get with the program, and do you have to change and scrap everything that you do to fit him, and is that really going to net you out more wins? I mean, I think that's debatable. And by the way, I like Andy Dalton more than Brian Hoyer, but really, like, it's entirely possible. See, I think Hoyer's better than you guys do. So that, like that's the base of it. And I was saying last year that they could win the division with Brian Hoyer. So this isn't new. I'm not just saying this now. I've been saying this for over a year, that Bill would win with Brian Hoyer. So I believe that. Bill's going to win with Brian Hoyer. Would he win a little bit more with Andy Dalton or Cam Newton? Maybe, but maybe not. I think that's debatable. So no, the season is not a failure. It is not a failure just because you need to manage a young quarterback. That doesn't mean it's a failure.
Not if you're just trying to, you know, again, dumb down the offense and make it dink and dunk. That you either believe that the young kid can be a game manager or not. You don't have to have him open it up initially. There is going to be him easing into it. That's going to happen. But he should be out there week one.
Yeah, but
I think it's bad for business. It's as simple as that. It's bad business for putting Brian Hoyer out there to start the season. Because Hoyer in, fans out.
I don't. I think they can win with Brian Hoyer, one. But number two, I don't think there's anything wrong or it doesn't diminish Stidham hardly at all to say he needs to be managed early on in his career. I mean, not everyone comes out gangbusters week one, lighting the world on fire. Maybe he's just not that guy and Bill knows it. And it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of seasoning and a little bit of protection. You got to protect the kid. So you protect him. That doesn't mean he's not the guy. And
okay,
but again, going off yesterday's discussion, if they were opening up, and it was possible, you know, based on what we had yesterday, that the first month of the season was going to be the NFC West. If their first 2 weeks were at Seattle, home San Francisco, to me, they would be totally within their rights to say, you know what, we're going to throw Hoyer to the wolves on that one and protect Stidham from that. To me, that wouldn't say one thing about Stidham. It would say something about Belichick being smart and trying to protect his young quarterback.
Okay, but just to clarify, I am not talking about the season being a fail. Of course, Bill could, you know, who knows? Bill could surprise me. I'm talking about how we manage the quarterback position. If they lose Brady and the substitute was Hoyer and Stidham isn't going to start in 2020, fail. You had to do better than Brian Hoyer. That's my stance. Now, he might win with Hoyer. Fine. I'll change my mind if he proves me wrong. As of today, if the selling point to me before this thing began was Stidham's not ready, but we're going to grab Hoyer for $1 million from the Colts, and we're going to go that route, and we'll bite the bullet. I think that sucks. I think that's a fail.
So, again, I guess it goes back to I think they can win with Brian Hoyer. Now, again, if the first 2 weeks we're at Seattle, home San Fran. I mean, so I don't love your chances there. I don't love your chances with Stidham. I don't love your chances if Cam Newton were your quarterback there. I mean, I really don't. And so, you know, what's the ultimate goal there? To me, the ultimate goal is Stidham's the guy, okay? And this is why I say the most important thing to me is, are you going back into the draft next year for your quarterback? Then I'd consider it a fail. Then I would say, well, Stidham's not the guy. You hitched your horse. You know, you hitched your horse to the wrong wagon there, and you should have gone into the draft this year for a quarterback, or you should have signed something. Then you should have signed something better than Brian Hoyer because you don't believe in Stidham. If Hoyer is just a means to the end to get Stidham to where they want him to be, then that's not a fail. If Hoyer's a perfect guy because they actually need a sacrificial lamb, then he's a perfect sacrificial lamb. And it's all about managing Stidham. If they have to draft Trevor Lawrence next year or trade up for a quarterback in the top 10 next year, then I will say fail. Fail, fail, fail. Or they got to make some big trade or spend huge money on a quarterback. Then I would say, then what were you doing last year? But if this year is just about managing a kid who may not be quite ready, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but why can't you? But you've also said that you don't want to give away a season. So what if Hoyer is giving away a season in the minds of some people like me?
Well, because, and again, just based off of yesterday's deal, if the first month was the NFC West and Brian Hoyer goes 1-3, okay, well, now the real hard part of your schedule is over. Stidham replaces him. Stidham's now the savior. He's not replacing Tom Brady. He's replacing Brian Hoyer. And your schedule lightens up. Here comes the idiots in the AFC East. And you give those to Stidham, he wins some games, and now all of a sudden, if Stidham, you know, the whole because now everyone thinks the Patriots suck.
It's a less of a test, though. How does that build any confidence?
Exactly. What do you mean? That's exactly how you build confidence.
What if he wins one of those first four games against, you know, San Francisco or Seattle?
Oh, sure. I mean, the upside's higher, but so is the downside. If you want to manage the risk and the expectation, if you let Hoyer start the year and fall on his face, and then it's, you know, everyone says, oh, the Patriots blow. Here comes 4-12. And Stidham goes 500. Well, that actually looks pretty good. And that's actually putting him in a position to succeed. And if you have to do that with Stidham, that does not, to me, mean that there's some sort of black mark on Jared Stidham. It just means he's a young guy who needs to be managed. So what? Manage him. And that's all. But could they have done better than Hoyer? I think so too, Maz. I think so too. But maybe Bill's about to blow us all on that. Maybe Bill knows, and what Bill values is, here's a guy that I know exactly what I'm going to get every time he steps on the field, right? Like what do they always say? You know, I'll take a little bit of a lesser player if there's a consistency level there that we know exactly what we're going to get every time he steps on the field versus some guy who might be a 10 on one day and a 2 on the next. Like, then we don't know what he's going to give us, and it's really hard to game plan there. But if I get a 6.5 every single time the guy steps on the field, that guy's almost more valuable. And maybe he looks at that way with Brian Hoyer, and that's how he looks at him.
Oh, no, I look at that way with Hoyer, too. I think he consistently sucks.
Agree.
He's better than you guys say. He was better than Stidham last year in the preseason.
No, he wasn't.
When every time one of these guys, Gasper, Bedard, how come anytime a football guy says, you know, Hoyer actually outplayed him last year in the preseason, but they kept Stidham because of the contract? Why don't you argue with them?
No, they're wrong.
Because they're not worth the effort.
Well, why don't you chirp them? Why you chirp me? Why do you immediately blow back? Why do I get that blowback? Why don't you blow back your fancy friend there, Chris Gasper, when he comes in with his sequin face mask, Murray? Why don't you get he's been saying this again. Jimmy stops me right in my tracks. These guys have been saying this the whole offseason that Hoyer was actually better than Stidham last year in the preseason.
Wrong. I've bled him too.
Okay.
You know what? I'm actually eager to see Gasper tomorrow, assuming he's coming in, because I'm sure he has a cashmere face mask.
This is what I mean. I said sequin, but same difference. Either way, it's a Hugo Boss. We continue and get your thoughts on this very topic right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
You know, I hear a lot of people like, why didn't the Patriots sign him? Why didn't the Jaguars sign him? Hey, everybody's got to get this through their head. The Patriots are going ahead with their plan as scheduled. This was their plan. Jared Stidham's the plan. They weren't caught off guard by, like, oh no, Tom Brady left us and our pants are down and we don't know what to do. No, they drafted Jared Stidham last year because they knew that this was coming close with Tom Brady. So that's why Andy Dalton's not there. The Patriots' plan was to move on with Jared Stidham.
All right, I get it. And I believe that. Does that mean he needs to be ready to go week one? Or else that's a failure? One of the things, yeah. Stidham's a guy, but he's not ready week one, especially with this crazy offseason that they're going to have. Maybe no preseason. Maybe no real camp as they know it. I mean, so he's not ready to go week one. And if you start off, and again, this was going off of yesterday when we thought it might be at Seattle or something like that. If that's the first game, if you sit him for the first couple of weeks because he's not quite ready and the schedule is not quite conducive and the offseason's all goofy, that to me doesn't constitute failure to me. It doesn't. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not against some sort of slower development plan with Stidham. In fact, to me, that should be priority one, is whatever is best for Jared Stidham is what the Patriots should do, because that is ultimately what is tied most to their long-term future. I'm totally fine with that. But the idea that Hoyer is then the interim guy, that I don't like.
So, and I agree with that to a point, meaning I'd rather have Andy Dalton to be that guy versus Brian Hoyer. I think Dalton's better. But does that mean it's a failure? Because now we're arguing the margin between Dalton and Hoyer. And what really is that gap? What is that gap? I mean, Are they not essentially the same guy? In fact, Murray would rather have Hoyer than Dalton.
Yeah, for spite, to spite you both. But at least Dalton has been a Pro Bowler. Hoyer has just sucked since he's come into the NFL. And by this logic, if Hoyer was on the roster during the Brady suspension, should he have started instead of Garoppolo to ease? Because you don't want to ruin Garoppolo. You got to ease him in.
Well, it depends. They viewed Garoppolo being ready, and he obviously was, Murray. He obviously was. If they but not everyone's the same. And Garoppolo also had an extra year in the system. It was Garoppolo's third year. This is Stidham's second. And in Stidham's second, he won't even have a real offseason. So, I mean, not everything's created equal. So if they think Stidham's ready, then great. Balls to the wall. Boom. Put him on the table. Put your nads on the table. He goes against everyone. Bring on Garoppolo. Bring on Russell Wilson in Seattle. Take them all on. He's week one. Let's go. Okay, if he's ready, he's ready. But if he's not, that doesn't mean that the plan with Stidham failed to me. Maybe there's just a different arc. There's just a different progress with him. That not everyone's equal. And not every situation is equal to me. So your thoughts on this, Chris and Walpole. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I can't believe I'm about to partially agree with Felger here, but I'm not going to be surprised if I see Hoyer starting for the first two or three games just for the simple fact that Belichick's going to test out that offensive line. He's going to see what he's got there first. He always treats the first two or three games as like a pseudo, pseudo off-season, practice game.
No, extended spring training, extended preseason. The Patriots, I mean, really, for the last decade or so, it feels like. I mean, they're clunkers. They have so many clunkers in September where they're just – it's almost like a soft opening, and Bill builds in this, this progress throughout the course of the year. And
was it like that last year?
It wasn't. It wasn't quite like that last year. But I mean, let me just remember. I can't remember what the games were.
They came out guns blazing. They went at Miami like 43-0 or whatever the hell it was. And the Dolphins were horrid.
Then they looked good against Pittsburgh week one. It's true. But I mean, you do have to admit there's been a lot of Septembers where it's been a creaky kind of open.
Absolutely. But I also think that they had Brady. And so, again, there was always a measure there of Brady being able to bail him out early or late or whenever. And so I just think now it's a dangerous game to play. It's one thing to say, okay, we're gonna pace ourselves here a little in September because I got to figure out what we have in some other spots. But because you always had Tom Brady and you knew you'd ultimately start winning games. You come out of the game 1-3, 1-4 or something now, that sucker could snowball.
So I just think it's different. It's different than any other comparable you're going to give me. Like, did they give Brady a soft landing in 2001? Well, Bill was fighting for his job, and it was desperate. They sucked the year before. They were 0-2. What were his options? He was desperate. He'd throw anything against the wall at that point. He didn't have the luxury of managing anything. He just went with the guy that he thought was the next best guy. And if the next best guy was Harold Fenefesi, that would have been the quarterback, because Bill needed it at the point. Okay. How come they didn't do this with Garoppolo? Well, again, they knew they were getting Brady back weeks 5 through 16, 17, and they were going to get him back. And Garoppolo was in the system for two full years, and there wasn't much at stake. They always knew they had the fallback of Brady coming back, and they were going to be a Super Bowl contender either way. And Garoppolo was going to go back to the bench, so they were less worried. Now this is not a Super Bowl year. It is a year that I hope that they are good and contend, but no one expects them to win a championship. They're sort of resetting the roster, and they're trying to find, who they go forward with. And they think Stidham's the guy. So to me, the priority is to put him in a position to succeed. Put him in a position to succeed. And if their season was to start at Seattle, home Niners, at Rams, something like that, that's not putting him in a position to succeed. And I would have had no problem with Hoyer in that case. Now, if the report is true, it's home Miami week one. Home Miami? Now I wonder. I mean, if the first 2 weeks are going to be something like Maz, home Miami, home Jets, if they have something like that. And I know they're playing at the Jets November 9th on a Monday night. But maybe are the first 2 weeks going to be division games? And are they both going to be home? And I'm just saying, or maybe Arizona comes in here week two. Are the first two games at home against really winnable opponents? Well, then maybe I do put Stidham in there. I'm putting him in a position to succeed. And if you think let me ask you, does that mean he's not the guy if you have to manage him like that? So Murray believes that. Murray, we'll get your take on that after your update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.